Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for always being there. Thank you for hearing our cries and our petitions in the blood righteousness of thy darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you now to be with us as we endeavor to study your word, to gain more insight, the Lord willing, as we live out our lives here upon this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. As we pointed out this morning, the 15th chapter kind of set the stage for the 16th chapter, and which brings us to remind ourselves that the chapters and the verses and all of that are not in the original. So there's really no break from the 15th to the 16th chapter, though that's put there supposedly for our benefit. But the 15th chapter set the stage for the 16th chapter, as we've already said. And the command was for the seven angels to pour out their vials on the earth. Let's just go ahead and read the whole chapter. Somewhat lengthy, but it gets the continuity of it. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, or the throne of the beast, if you would. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. You see that the command was given in verse 1 to the seven angels to pour out their vials, and the vials that were poured out was the wrath of God upon the earth. Now you need to realize and remember again that these judgments, whether it was the seals or the trumpets or now the vials that's poured out, is poured out on the earth dwellers. God's children do not experience God's wrath. God's children are judged. They're not only judged now at various times and chastened of the Lord, which is a form of judgment, but they shall be before the judgment seat of Christ sometime when the Lord returns. But they never, never, never experience God's wrath. Now, because of this wrath poured out on the earth, particularly on the earth dwellers and those that worship the beast and so on, God's children may be persecuted by those wicked people, but it is not God's wrath that's poured out upon them. And the seven angels were mentioned, as we said, in the 15th chapter. They were mentioned there back in verse 1 and verse 6 and even in verse 8. And though they were not described in the 16th chapter, they were described in the 6th verse of the 15th chapter. The seven angels that came out, they were clothed with pure and white linen and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. So, and we said, this is the only time in the book of Revelation that angels were described as how they looked. And notice this. It is heaven that commands them to pour out the vials of the wrath of God. Notice verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, out of the temple of God, out of heaven itself, if you please, was the command given to pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, let me say this in passing, lest I forget it. This is God's wrath. Right? It's God's wrath that's poured out. But who does the pouring? It's the angels. God uses means in various ways. And here he's using, by his wrath being poured out, he's using the means of the angels. And so heaven commanded them to pour out this, the wrath of God. This command was not by some man. Because in chapter 15 in verse 8, it said that no man was able to enter into the temple until the vials were poured out. So this could not be some man giving the command. This is God. This is God's wrath that's poured out on the earth, that is, on the earth dwellers. Now you have the first vial in verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men. Notice which men that it was, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped the image. Here this wrath is poured out on men. On men. You remember that in verse 13 you have the beast that was out of the sea and the beast that was out of the earth, and that exercised the power of the first beast and that made the image of the beast and gave life to the image. And then in the first three seals, back the seals, the first four trumpets affected the earth but did not affect man. But this vial, that is this bowl, affected men that had the mark of the beast that worshipped his image. That worshipped his image. In the end time, religion will no longer be merely a nominal thing. All men will have to declare their loyalty to Christ or Antichrist. And it's coming down to it more and more and more. I mentioned during our break conversation I had with a man that first met back in the 90s that called me yesterday, and we were talking, and one of the things that he made mention of is how many of the big name evangelists are giving way more and more and more to government policies, recommending people get shots, recommending people bow down to the powers that be, recommending people do this, that, or the other. Some of these things I've been saying concerning some of these so-called religious leaders, the people think that I've gone off the deep end, but here again, I don't go on what they say, I go on what they do. And then one of the supposedly evangelistic congregation that's supposedly Baptist this last few days or weeks, or about a week or so ago, ordained four women to the ministry. And so they keep caving in time and time and time again. Of course, that's been done already in the Southern Baptist in many ways more than once, but they haven't been so openly with it as it was recently. But you're going to find that it's going to get more and more demanding that either you stand for the truth of the gospel or you bow to modern political ideas and opinions. We've seen many come and go among us. And are worshiping in every different types of situations. Well, if they cave in now, what are they going to do when it gets worse? Time will only tell. And as I've said many, many, many times, and I say this again, lest anyone think that I am professing to be something that I'm not, it is only by God's grace that I stand. If God leaves me to myself, I'll cave in too. And you will too. That's the whole thing about it. We know what we are, and we are nothing without God. We're nothing without God. But as we have seen so far throughout this whole book of Revelation, though we may not be able to give the particulars of what the mark of the beast is and all of that, God has constantly assured us that He will not leave His people, and not one of His sheep will bow down to the beast or the false prophet. Not one. Not one. And again you say, but how can you be sure of that? The Bible tells me so. That's how I can be sure. That's the only way I can be sure. Well, what about so-and-so? I don't know about so-and-so. I don't know about me. The last chapter hasn't been written about me, nor you. But he that is of the Lord will overcome and be faithful unto the end. That much we can say with all confidence, because that's what the Scriptures teach. And so this wrath, the wrath of God, is poured out on the earth dwellers. And notice it caused a noisome and grievous sore upon men. This reminds us of one of the plagues that was poured out upon the Egyptians. Look back in Exodus chapter 9. You say, is this really going to happen? Is he going to pour out a noisome sore upon men? I believe so. And I believe it's just as literal as what I'm about to read as in Exodus chapter 9. Exodus 9, beginning at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust and in all the land of Egypt, and it shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. You say, well, I don't believe he's going to pour out noise of sore in the last days. Well, if you're a Bible believer, you do. Because he did it right here in Egypt many years ago. Dust, did you catch it? Dust became boils. If God can take dust and change it into an infection on the skin of an individual, or infection within an individual, he can do it again. And I've had boils. As a child, when I broke my neck and spent 50 days in one hospital and 60 days in another, by the time I came out, I had boils. Picked up evidently an infection in the hospital. That's no pleasant thing. And I sure am glad God didn't cover my body with them. Verse 9 again. And it became small dust. In all the land of Egypt. And shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. The magicians couldn't do that. And I believe just as literal as that happened in the days of Moses, I believe just literal in Revelation 16 and verse 2, when it said, the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, let me say this. I don't care whether these earth dwellers, if they believed in eating only organic food, which I believe that's a good thing to do and so on, but my point is, I don't care how well they guard their health and how well they guard any of it, God's going to pour it out. And they'll have these sores. Believe thou this? I do. And notice again, it was not poured out on all men. You see, I don't know who God's children are or not, but God does. There's many people that make a profession of faith, which is not real. And if their faith, if their belief is a false profession, they're going to have the vial poured out upon them. On those who had the mark of the beast and worshipped the image of the beast. Like we said, the first three seals and the first four trumpets affected earth. They didn't affect man. But this first vial affected men. It affected the men that worshiped the beast or that had the mark of the beast. And they worship the image of the beast. Like I said, in the end time, religion will no longer be a mere nominal thing. All men will have to declare their allegiance literally either to God or to the Antichrist. And this plague, as we've already said, so we'll say again, this plague, as well as all the other plagues, are just as literal as those in Egypt. Just as literal as those in Egypt. Look at the second plague in verse 3. And the second plague poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. You believe that? If you're a Christian, you do. Because that's already happened in Egypt. The water became blood in Egypt. As the water was turned to blood, here we find in this plague was on the sea, and it killed men in the sea. Which men in the sea? The men that had worshipped the beast and his image. I won't turn back and read that at this time. You can do it. But if you'll go back to Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 17 through 21, you'll see where the water was turned into blood. And notice that it said, souls were killed. Every living soul died in the sea. Animals don't have souls. I don't care how much people want to worship animals today. Animals don't have souls. Can you imagine the floating of such carcasses in the seas? And how all of those floating carcasses is going to disturb the shipping industry? You talk about a malware or a ransomware that hacks into an oil line and shuts down oil production. Well, you might do something about that, but you're not going to shut God down. Can you just think about the shipping industry being shut down? Is this worldwide? Or is it localized? We don't know. We don't know whether it's the third of the entire population or whether it's just a third of a certain section. It seems to indicate a worldwide calamity, catastrophe. Now notice the third vial, verses 4 through 7. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers, not the sea, not the oceans, but the rivers, fresh water, and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now, what all became blood in Egypt? Just the Nile River. Nothing was said about the Nile River turning the Mediterranean Sea into blood. Nothing was said about that in Egypt. God can localize His plagues. But here we have the sea are affected, and then the fresh water, not only the streams, but the fountains. You remember during the flood, it not only rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but the waters rose up out of the from the fountains of the deep. Think about your underground streams turning to blood. Cities that have their drinking water coming from artesian wells. I used to live in the city of Memphis. The Memphis water is so pure that they have to put chlorine or something in the waters because to keep it clean from going through the pipes. The water is just artesian. good water. In fact, our water bill was so cheap when I came up this end of the state, the first water bill that got, I thought something was gone haywire. Water bill was about five times what I paid in Memphis. But God's wrath can affect that river too. And how is it, I'm going to throw you a question, which I don't have an answer. How is it that this bloody water and bloody sea and these men in the sea, how is it going to affect those who worship, have the mark of the beast and worship the image and not his people? Through them, very likely our water supply would be limited also. I didn't read it all, did I? I didn't get that far. I'll start at verse 4 again. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of waters, note that, say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, no doubt another angel, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. In Revelation chapter 14, in verse 18, there was an angel there that had the power of fire. Now, in Revelation chapter 7, in verse 1, there were four angels that held the four winds of the earth. Here in chapter verse 5 of chapter 15, this is an angel of waters. That is, declares that, and this angel of waters declares that God is righteous to mete out such judgments. Modern man says that God would be unjust to judge that away. But the angel says otherwise. You know, people always want to talk about, well, God's just unjust if he does this. God's unjust if he does that. God's unjust. I tell you what, whatever God does is right. You're unjust to say such things. You're unjust to say such things. Sometimes people say, well, God let me down. God never let anybody down. You may think so, but the problem resides in you, not with God. The angel says that such who receive such judgments is because they shed the blood of God's people. And they're worthy to get what's coming to them. They're going to get what's coming to them. I don't care if you sit in the White House in a Senate seat, whether it's in U.S. Senate or a state Senate. I don't care if you're a sheriff, a policeman. I don't care who you are or what you are. God's judgments are just. And you'll be judged justly. Notice what it says here. Verse 5. And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord. God is righteous. God's judgments are righteous. God is righteous. God's judgments are righteous. If He sends a tornado, if He sends a hurricane, if He sends an earthquake, we read about one in here in this 16th chapter, an earthquake that is going to come that has never been like it before. We'll get to that eventually. People say, well, God wouldn't do anything like that. He sent COVID, didn't He? God wouldn't do that. That's not of God who said so. You don't believe in the providence of God? You think it happened by accident? You think it happened by accident? If you think it happened by accident, you don't know the God of this Bible. I've heard more than one preacher say that God had nothing to do with it. He said, well, China did it. Fauci did it. Well, I believe they were all involved in it. But if God didn't want it to be, it wouldn't have been here either, would it? However you want to say, whether God allowed it, however you want to slice the cake, it was only here because in God's purpose, it plays a part in His overruling history. You say, well, what's He trying to tell us or what's He telling us? I don't know exactly. I have some ideas, but I may be wrong about that. But to say that God didn't have anything to do with it, I guess He didn't have anything to do with turning ashes into dust in the days of Moses. I guess He didn't have anything to do with the river becoming water in the days of Moses. I don't guess He had anything to do with the lights going out in Egypt, but not in Goshen. I guess that was just a phenomenon of nature. No. And any that says so, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe God. It's just that simple to me. If they're not going to believe the Bible, they don't believe God. And if they don't believe God, we're going to see before we get through with this, if they don't believe the Bible, then they're just blaspheming God. And so they join in with the earth dwellers. They join in with the earth dwellers. You say, well, this is all symbolic language. Was the water turning to blood in Egypt symbolic language? Was the ashes turning into dust that turned into boil symbolic language in Egypt? Was light and darkness symbolic language in Egypt? Were the frogs symbolic frogs in Egypt, or were they real frogs? A symbol doesn't stink, does it? Those frogs stunk. You see what we're saying? You either believe God's word or you don't. That's it. And you try to explain it away. You say, well, I don't understand this. It must have some spiritual meaning to it and so on and so forth. Why, if God didn't say that it has something meaning other than what it said, why do I have the right to change it? You say, well, you're just not spiritual enough. Well, all right, maybe I'm not. But I believe God. I believe God. And as he said, this angel of water said God was righteous because he has judged as he did, or as he's going to. Verse 7 again, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. God's judgments are true and righteous, whether he withholds rain or gives a flood, whether he sends a whirlwind or doesn't. You say, well, that tornado, what did God say about the whirlwind? God has his way in the whirlwind. Oh, well, he just has his way in some whirlwinds and not others. Well, if there's any part of nature that's outside of the hand of God, then I don't want to be around it, do you? I believe God has it all in his hands. I believe when Nebuchadnezzar said, God does his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what are you doing? I believe that's right. Look at the fourth angel, verses 8 and 9. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with a great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Now, let's look at something right here. People say, well, I don't believe that's a literal sun. I believe that's just a symbol. Well, the wicked men have more understanding about the Bible than those folks do, because the wicked men blaspheme God for doing it. You see that? People either prove too much or say too little. Just take the Bible for what it says, beloved. And if you haven't done enough sense to figure it out, like I don't have enough sense to figure out the details, just say so. But don't say it doesn't mean what it says. You say, well, how's he going to do that? I don't know. But there are many passages of Scripture that talks about God using the fire from the sun in the latter days. He poured out the vial on the sun. He poured his vial not on the earth, he poured it on the sun. So, well, he couldn't really pour it on the sun. Who said he couldn't? It said sun. It didn't say moon. It didn't say stars. It didn't say earth. It didn't say people. The angel poured out his vial on the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. They were scorched with a great heat. Notice a particular power was given to this angel to do this. Throughout the Scriptures we find, and even in Revelation in particular, but we find throughout the Scriptures that power or special privileges were given for different purposes to different individuals or even angels. You remember in Job's case? Satan was given special powers to destroy all of Job's property. When he sent either a storm, that is when Satan sent a storm, God gave Satan the power, allowed him to do that. When he sent a storm or he sent an army to wipe out Job's asses or his camels or his sheep or whatever it was, all of them were killed, all of the servants were killed, but one. And that one was to be a messenger to go back to Job and tell him what happened. Same way when Job lost his children. And later on, when Satan was given power to afflict Job with boils. Were those literal boils or were those spiritual boils? Literal boils. You believe the Bible? Do you believe Job's literal? Why not Revelation? Why not Revelation? Special powers were given at different times. God even gave a special power to a donkey one time. Balaam's ass, and it talked to him. You believe that really happened, or is that spiritual? Was that a spiritual donkey or a real donkey? Well, what about when that donkey bruised Balaam's leg up against the wall? Was that a spiritual bruise or a real bruise? You say, well, that's different. Why is it different? Do we sing, He's just the same today? We believe God's the same God today as it was in Egypt's time. Then why do we want to come to the book of Revelation and explain it away? And say it doesn't mean the same thing. It has a spiritual meaning. I'm not against spiritual meanings. I'm not against spiritual applications. But we're talking about interpretation. So God gives special powers to men, to angels, and even animals to carry out His purposes. I remember one time God sent a lion to kill a prophet because that prophet didn't obey God. That prophet followed another prophet's advice. God told the prophet, you go down there, you prophesy, and then you come back home, you don't spend the night. He started back home. Another prophet said, well, God told me to tell you to come back to my house and spend the night. So he went back and spent the night in his house. What happened? When he got ready to go home, God sent a lion to kill the prophet. And the lion stayed there beside the donkey and didn't even eat the donkey and didn't even eat the man. You think God can do that? Sure He can. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. You can be assured that the powers of the world that are ruling are fulfilling the purposes of God. You can be sure of that. We'll read it. You know the verses. Somebody out there listening to this may not. Let's look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Verse 17, Paul quoting from Exodus. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, what did God say to the Pharaoh? And how did God say it to Pharaoh? How did God say it to Pharaoh? He said it to Moses. And if what I am saying is true, and you're arguing with it, then you're going to argue with God. Romans 9:17. What did God say to Pharaoh? Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. I don't know who Pharaoh's, I haven't done that studying, but I don't know who Pharaoh's mother and father were. But they had to marry each other, didn't they? Then they had a child. That child didn't die from some childhood disease. God overruled in such a way that this Pharaoh was raised up. God raised him up. God set him on the throne. Why did God do it? That I might show my power, that is, that God might show His power in thee, and that my name, that is God's name, be declared throughout all the earth. God's going to declare His name throughout all the earth again. He's done it several times. He's going to do it again. I'm as confident of that. Whether I'll be alive to see it or not, I don't know. But I'm confident of that. And we already quoted part of this, but let's go back to Daniel chapter 4. Now, will you go to that a whole lot? I sure do. I like a good steak, and I'll eat another one. Whatever's true is true. Whatever's right is right. Daniel chapter 4, verse 32, first of all. Daniel is telling what's going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. And they shall drive thee, this is Daniel 4:32, then we'll read 34. And they shall drive thee from men. Did they drive him from men? Did they drive Nebuchadnezzar from men? And thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Yes, I believe the election was stolen, but God overruled and God put Mr. Biden in office for his purpose. You say, what purpose is that? I don't know. I didn't say I understood it. I believe God, though, don't you? All right. Verse 33 said it happened. Then verse 34, after it happened, listen to Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. God's dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth his will according to the army of his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? But notice, God's kingdom is from generation to generation. God's kingdom will never come to an end. All earthly kingdoms will. Nebuchadnezzar believed it was an everlasting kingdom. Those who scorn and recognize that they were scorched with power, with the power of God. In other words, God had power over these plagues. Notice it said there again in verse the power was given him to scorch men with fire in verse 9, and the men were scorched. They were burned. God gave the angel power to burn the men, and the men were burned. They were scorched with a great heat. And they realized it was from God, and they repented. No. And they blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. They were hardened in their sins. They would not repent. They refused to repent. Just like Pharaoh would not repent. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. You say, which one's true? Both are true. Pharaoh did what he wanted to do. God sent the plagues, And the same sun that melts the butter hardens the clay. The same plagues that would, the same trials, let me put it this way, that would cause a child of grace to repent, put those same trials upon an unregenerate and just make him madder and harder. We've seen such. They would not repent. They refused to repent. Turn back to Revelation 9 for just a moment. Just talking about the sixth angel, that of the sixth trumpet. But in verses 20 and 21 of Revelation 9, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. You know why wicked men don't repent of their wicked deeds, even if they commit murder? Because they hate God. It is not judgment and fear of death that will cause men to repent. The only thing that will cause a man to love God and to serve God is the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And if God had not regenerated us, we'd be right there in the same boat with them. This is the reason you can't do anything to change the heart of an individual. You can't be good enough to them. You can't be hard enough on them. You can't say the right things. You can't do the right things. Only God can change the heart of an individual. And if God changes the heart, then they have another will, and they will believe, and they will love God. This judgment, this wrath of God, is just as distinguishing as the love of God. The love of God is poured out on the elect. This judgment is poured out on the wicked. And you can rest assured, God knows the difference between the wicked and His people. We may not always be able to tell the difference, but God does. God does. My concern is me. That I'm not deceived. I don't believe I am. But most people, everyone that's deceived, they didn't think they were either, did they? Well, we don't have time to take up the rest of these. But you can see that God is a discriminating God. He didn't pour out these plagues on His people. He poured them out on the earth dwellers, on those who had the mark of the beast, those who worshiped the image of the beast, those who were of Satan. He didn't pour it out on His children. Yes, God's a discriminating God, whether we like it or whether we don't. And every one of His shall come to Him. Every one shall flee to Christ. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me. Every one that is taught of God cometh to me, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the profound truth of Your Word. it like your salvation is so profound. Why you would love me and send Christ to die for me doesn't make good sense according to man's reason. And the only thing I can say is just because it seemed good in your sight. And why you would judge men as we are reading doesn't make sense to us either. Look like you could do it another way. But who am I to question you? It seemed good in your sight. I thank you that you are a God that's beyond my comprehension. I thank you that you are a merciful God. Help us to draw nigh to you and serve you with all fullness, by thy grace, through the operation of thy Holy Spirit. In Christ we pray. Amen.